talk of organizational barriers and how to overcome them. Many organizations start a workday with morning meetings when individuals are fresh and their minds are not preoccupied. Any communication passed at this juncture has maximum chances of being retained by listeners all throughout the day. But see, when I talk of organizational barriers, a simple example that a subordinate might feel uncomfortable to share even constructive feedback due to fear or shyness. So what happens is that you are meant to share that feedback, especially when it's constructive or positive feedback. But that fear and shyness makes you feel otherwise, and then you do not share it. So where is the problem? Is it that you are having that fear and shyness, which is why you cannot do so? Is that a fault or a problem with you? Or is that an issue with the opposite person? That you have to ask yourself. Actually, it is with you. So you have to go to the root of it. What is it that makes you feel uncomfortable to share anything at all? What is it which stops you from being your natural self? All those questions you have to ask yourself. So we talk of complexity in the organizational structure. Greater the hierarchy in an organization, more the number of people in terms of managerial level, more is the chance of communication getting destroyed. See, when information goes from A to B, B to C, C to D, then there are chances that by the time the communication actually reaches the last person where it's supposed to reach, it can be distorted, it can be misunderstood, it can be misrepresented. So only the people at top level can see the overall picture, while the people at low level just have knowledge about their own area and little knowledge about other areas. So you know what? It is very important to know that who is communicating to whom. This is actually channel of communication. Who is communicating to whom? Sorry, who is communicating to whom? Who is giving the instructions? Where have the instructions come from? Who is communicating to you? Say it could be your colleague. Who is communicating to you? Say your subordinate has come up with creative ideas for a particular project. So the focus here is that who is communicating to you and on what front. In many organizations, these managerial levels are not formally established. And if they are established, it is not defined with any degree of clarity. As a result, some members receive same information repeatedly, while others are in dark about it, even though it relates to their day-to-day activities and responsibilities. So definitely, again, what can be looked into? That the information which comes to you, it should be put forward very clearly. When I say very clearly, black or white. That means it's easy to understand or it's complicated. It can't or should not be midway. And frankly, all the effort should be put in to see to it that it is easy to understand. Organizational rules, regulations, and policies. In today's dynamic business environment, free flow of communication between superiors and subordinates in any organization is necessary and must be encouraged. When I talk of organizational rules, regulations, and policies, it could be in relation, for example, in relation to dress code. So the way it is communicated and how it is expressed, is it really easy for you to understand that this is the dress code of this organization? What about the work culture, the ethics? So what is important here? When we talk of rules, regulation, policies, an organizational policy will have an impact as far as hierarchical communication is concerned. I just told you in the previous slide, who says what to whom? So who is effectively communicating and what is communicated? That is important. The other organizational barriers may include incorrect message, emotional barriers, and use of jargons. Jargons are terms and phrases used by a group of people. So definitely, if jargons are used, then it does not sound as formal communication. It is not really communication that is considered to be appropriate. So very important when we talk of barriers in an organization, see what is expected. If you are a subordinate, what do you expect? That the person who is a top management is giving you information in a very structured manner. Why? Because he or she is a top management. When something is put up on the website, it's worded very appropriately. Correct sentence construction, correct grammar, appropriate usage of words, appropriate information which is easy to understand. All those aspects. Right? One way to overcome organizational barriers is to increase employee engagement. Thus, open communication can lead to improved morale, success, and productivity in any organization. When I say to increase employee engagement, what can you do to improve your rapport? What can you do to foster open communication? What can you do to bring in harmony? What else can be done so that employees feel a sense of belongingness, so that employees also feel a part of that organization and they feel that how can we progress ahead? See, when there is positive communication, an environment of harmony, that environment which creates the unity, bonding, cohesion, then it can lead to more employee engagement, and that is what is required. Status. Furthermore, organizational barriers in any organization can also include lack of communication of policies and create an organizational climate which is negative. Now, what does this mean? Status is the position or designation in the hierarchy of an organization. So sometimes what can happen is that a person at a very senior level might not wish to communicate to the juniors. Why? That person might just feel that he or she is at a senior level. That person might just feel that he somewhere is ideally not having the need to talk to the juniors. Probably. This can be because he's only communicating to one person and that one person communicates to the juniors. That can be one aspect. But it can also be that he or she feels that sense of, you know, inferiority, my mistake. Probably he or she feels that sense of superiority. When I say he or she feels that sense of superiority, he or she feels that he's at that designation. He doesn't feel the need to talk to the juniors. So it can be that designation which can be a status block. It can be that designation which ideally can stop him or her from communicating to the juniors. Also, that designation may make him feel that he doesn't want to communicate to the juniors. See, it's up to you how you want to interpret this. Someone else may say this is being egoistic. Someone else may say this is being arrogant. Someone else may say no, he's restricted his communication to that one person and that one person communicates with us. So, you know, I feel we can take it in a positive way that he's only communicating to one person and that one person communicates with all of us. And why does this happen? Because in that organization, information is structured, it's hierarchical. That's why. But this can be an organizational barrier because this can be also a status block. Since the person who's at a very senior level does not really wish to communicate at all to the juniors. A superior would give only selected or limited information to his subordinates. Very often, a superior may feel he may not be able to discuss certain problems or situations, which may lead to loss of prestige. So somewhere he or she might feel, I don't need to communicate. They may not really understand this problem. I don't think they'll be able to relate to this problem. That is the thought process, which can be possible. On the other hand, subordinates will only convey what the superiors will appreciate. Now, if subordinates only convey what the superiors will appreciate, this too can be a problem. Because that means the subordinates are actually stopping themselves from conveying a lot of information which they really would want to convey. So then that too can be a problem. See, you have to understand barriers from all fronts. A barrier is not only understood from the sender's point of view, a barrier is also from the receiver's point of view. So it has to be understood from all fronts. Personal barriers. Lack of trust by the superior. A superior may only give limited information to subordinates, and there could be lack of mutual trust. There is no trust from both the sides. Credibility gaps also lead to lack of mutual trust. Why do you think there's lack of mutual trust? Why does that happen? Maybe in the past, they have not been really able to express themselves. When I say they, I'm talking of superiors. Something stops them from expressing themselves, because when they actually express themselves in a very genuine and honest manner, then it seems that the situation goes out of control. In the sense, there are a lot of arguments, clashes, conflicts, disputes. So they do not reach that level. So this can be an issue or a problem. And when there's lack of trust, then communication will lead to miscommunication. When there's lack of trust, then everything that can be positive or sound positive can go in a negative direction. So trust deficit will not work. Trust and increase in trust will work. How? By being genuine, honest, and authentic. How will you be genuine, honest, and authentic? Put forward facts. See, everything that I put forward is not going to be pleasing to the opposite person's ear. Everything that I say is not going to make the person at top management feel happy, because there will be certain facts which will be kind of, need to be introspected. Sorry, there will be certain facts that need to be introspected. Certain facts which may make the person at top management feel that, oh, we've not increased the sales. There seems to be loss this time. So whatever you put forward, put it forward in a systematic and structured manner. Whatever I put forward, I should not lie. So I neither give incorrect information nor false information, nor do I lie. Then trust will grow. Next is lack of willingness to communicate. I've discussed this with you. Fear and shyness may prevent subordinates from communicating with individuals at top management. Only you can remove your fear and your own shyness. People around you will give you advice, but go to the root of it. If you want to remove your fear, you go to the root of it. Ask yourself, what is it that you have the fear for? So Mr. A says that his boss has 30 years work experience and he only has 2 years work experience. So he has that kind of fear and shyness. So first and foremost, you have to understand that one day you too will reach that level with so many years of experience. Why are you comparing in a manner which makes you feel uncomfortable, which makes you feel that you're not worthy of anything? Why don't you see that you're progressing in life and moving towards something that is positive? That is up to you. Incentives. At times, employees may feel demotivated since there are no awards, incentives, and rewards given to employees to certain opinions, suggestions, and advice which may be considered valuable. Now, very often employees feel, or an employee can feel, I'm doing everything for this company, but I'm not getting any incentive in return. This is what people feel. I'm giving an example, right? Now, everything is not about incentives and awards. It is also about you doing your best to progress. It is also about you giving maximum so that in the future, you never know what more opportunities you may come across. See, when we talk of any organization where you work, what is your role? That you contribute maximum towards the success of that organization? What else is your role? That your goals and the goals of the organization are aligned? What else is it that you want to look into? That am I coming up with unique ideas? Am I ideally contributing for the betterment of the organization? Am I able to take charge of situations? Am I able to handle people? What about my problem-solving skills? What about team management? Why don't you focus on all that? Say if you're a software engineer, what about programming, coding? Are you excellent at it? So learn to focus and contribute maximum. And learn to become aware of the opportunities, progress, and growth that organization can give you. Personal communication barriers. So ability to speak effectively. Speech and attentiveness. When speaking, you need to be clear and concise. Speak on important matters directly. Avoid long, drawn-out stories that cause listeners' mind to wander, that cause the listener's mind to wander. Communicate to the point. Those complicated sentences will complicate your life and your relations with others. Keep it simple, keep it direct. Ask whether they understand and be willing to further explain any of your points. Yes, when I talk, it is my responsibility. So how do I deal with my team? I say, is everyone with me? Everyone here in the present moment? So the moment they ask that, someone who is not really understood will feel, yes. Ma'am, I did not understand this. Please, can you explain? But that is up to me, that I get everyone together. And do not assume that everybody knows what you're saying. I thought that you thought. Don't get to that. I need to explain. I need to make others understand. See, every time everyone may not think the same as me, right? If I'm talking, every time everyone may not think the same as me. So it's very important that I bring everybody together, right? And move forward. So do not expect someone just to know what you are saying, even if it is crystal clear in your own mind. But what about others? So it's clear in my mind. But what about the other people? So what do I need to look into? Simple words, which I've mentioned before. Easy to understand sentences, which I've mentioned before. And the meaning should be clear. That's it. How to overcome communication barriers? Now we talk of the barriers where any person who has communication barriers has to overcome it. See, any barriers, if they are just here, it'll make you a negative person because you will hold on to that barriers. Sorry, you will hold on to those barriers. So if you're shy and you continue being shy, then it'll stay on your mind. No, you will feel, I'm shy. I cannot give a good interview. I'm shy. I'm not confident to talk in front of my boss. I'm shy. I'm not able to relate to my colleagues. Why should you do that? Overcome that barrier. So now we talk of sender-oriented barriers. Lack of planning and improper choice of words may result in poor communication. Information should be put forward in a coherent manner. What does coherent mean? Information that is put forward in a structured, logical manner. That means sentence one is connected to sentence two is connected to sentence three. For example, I send you an email. Paragraph one is the introductory paragraph, second paragraph is the body, third paragraph is the conclusion. The first paragraph is connected somewhere to the second paragraph is connected to the third. So information going in a logical, systematic manner. Now, if you are not prepared, every time you don't need to be prepared. Sometimes you have to speak spontaneous. But if you are not prepared, you want to discuss with your boss as to why there has been a decline in sales of goods. So are you prepared? Do you have enough information? Are you aware how you should word it when you're discussing this problem with him? So that is something that needs to be looked into. It is equally important to understand the opposite person's perspective. What we say is that always put in effort to understand the opposite person, what he or she is saying. Always put in effort to understand his or her own thoughts. Always put in effort to be able to relate to what the other person is saying. Because you know what? If I am the sender, what is most important for me? That the receivers can absorb what I'm saying. But if I have my own barriers, then how will the receivers absorb what I'm saying? Absorb, take in, and retain. How will that happen? So the opposite person's perspective is very important. Linguistic barriers. Language barriers refer to the challenges faced by people who speak different languages, which leads to misunderstanding. You know, see, if someone is speaking a very different language from you, if you speak French and he speaks English, then anyways, that's not possible because you don't understand, right? That is not possible means a communication. So a lot of times what we can say is that accent. Now, I'm not making fun at all. I'm just giving an example. I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm just giving an example. Tomorrow morning, we have a meeting at 8 o'clock. I want everybody to attend. So that accent, which might be difficult for you to understand or pick up. Right? Or if I say, tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, please be present. I'm not making fun. I'm just giving you an example. It's the same language probably out here, right? Sorry, it's the same language, but the accent differs. Someone may not be able to pick up when you spoke with an accent. So, culture too plays an important role in linguistic barriers. Linguistic barriers include people from different countries who interact with one another. That's why I gave that example with an accent. We have a meeting tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock and we appreciate if everybody's going to be there. So that accent, it's a heavy accent. Right? How would I say it? We have a meeting tomorrow morning at 9 and I will appreciate it if all of you will be there. But certain words, certain type of accent, that can create a barrier. So you might feel the person is talking very fast. The person is having a heavy accent. So that can be an issue. How to overcome communication barriers? We continue. So linguistic barriers are based on dialects where two people share a common language and speak it differently based on a different region. That's why I gave this example. Tomorrow morning, we have a meeting at 8 o'clock. Please be present. I'm repeating this. I'm not making fun. I'm just making you understand, right? That how different people talk, which is okay. But what is the problem here? That the opposite person may not understand. That is a problem. That can be a problem. So what do you do? When we feel a person is talking in a different accent, it is best that you give more than 100% attention, get focused, get involved to really understand what is said. Put in all your efforts to listen. You'll say, listen, I'm 100% focused. No, put in all your attention there. You will be able to pick up. You will. Right? Also, emotional barriers create an emotional response. See, emotional barriers will always impact your productivity. It will lead to slower output, decrease in productivity, demotivation, feelings of sadness may crop up, not feeling happy and leading to anxiety and stress because emotions fluctuate. See, your mind is filled with emotions and emotions keep fluctuating. Remember that. So it is best not to always put in so much attention on your emotions. You can't keep brushing it under the carpet. You have to give it attention, but as and when required. So being sensitive towards oneself and towards others is of prime concern. So the first step is to identify how our emotions impact our communication. And thus, it is better to introspect on our emotions and feelings that could trigger negative behavior. Okay, so the moment you realize that you're feeling angry, you introspect. What is the root of it? You introspect. Go to the root of it. Why is it that you are feeling angry? Right? Then you will be able to identify your thoughts, your triggers. And then once you identify your thoughts and your triggers, then you will be able to have a balanced approach with your communication. Overcoming barriers on part of the receiver. Receiver's barriers are very important for effective dialogue. The receiver may not be able to understand the messages effectively due to differing levels of understanding. Now, every time the receiver and you will not think the same. If there's such drastic differences in terms of wanting to understand, then it can be a problem. So how can this problem be resolved? Now, when we say these are receiver-centric barriers, what does this mean? The receiver may not be able to understand the messages effectively. Why? There are drastic differences in the mindset of the sender and the receiver. They don't think common. Their commonalities are not really there. They only have differences of opinion. So then it can be a receiver-centric barrier. Prejudice. A receiver may not accurately understand, interpret or respond to a particular message because of the preconceived notions and barriers in the mind. So preconceived notions we've discussed before, but prejudice, you become very anti against a person. And when you become against a person, then what happens is that you are not really able to even understand because you're so caught up with the negative thought that you don't like the person at all. So then you just focused on those barriers. And then we talk of overcoming poor listening skills by concentrating enough on what is being said. The only way out is that I leave all my feelings aside. Means I don't like this person. I don't get along with him or her. I don't communicate much with her because we keep arguing. Leave all that aside. Just focus on work. Just focus on outcome. Just focus on what is being said. Hear it and be receptive to what is said. That's it. When I keep an open mind, then all the information will flow. But when I have too many barriers, then the information will come to a halt in terms of me receiving that information. Right? Example of communication barriers. So communication filters can affect the flow of communication and impact how messages are interpreted and delivered. What is filtering? Filtering in communication is likely to happen when information is deliberately omitted, exaggerated, or modified. When I say information is deliberately omitted, exaggerated, or modified, that means when instructions are given by a person at top management, the subordinate, when he or she passes those instructions to the team, the instructions are not given complete, which later on leads to arguments and fights. Now, filtering is reducing the aspects of a message. Now, if your boss has given you 10 points as to how you should be going ahead with the project, if you concise those 10 points into 6 points and you put forward that information to your team, it is okay, provided you've not missed out on any of the important points, provided you have not intentionally hidden it. Hidden it means hidden the important points. You purposely don't want to share the important points. Then that can be a problem for you as well as the team. So when I talk of filtering, of course, it is about reducing the details or aspect of a message, but it can also be withholding information. For example, a manager who withholds information. Why? Why does a manager withhold information? Because it may be very sensitive information for the employees. So intentionally, it may be withheld. Or say, a subordinate is not having the courage to discuss the negative sales figures with a person at top management. So what is important when we talk of filtering the information? What is required and what is important? We can focus on two crucial aspects. One is that there should be open and transparent communication between the subordinates and people at top management. Another is that there should be that kind of environment where all aspects in terms of information are such that there is positive feedback and communication. So then that will increase the chances of people being honest to one another. That will increase the chances of not having the fear of not being able to say something. So next is information overload. Managers are surrounded with a pool of information. So this is discussed, right? Because we said that more than 20 emails, reading more than 3 reports which are ready by subordinates. So this is something that is discussed. Then we talk of lying, to intentionally withhold the truth. There is enough evidence to show that individuals lie over the phone than face to face. When you communicate with someone over the phone, then you are not visible. Your facial expressions are not visible. Neither is there any feedback in terms of body language, gestures, posture when you're talking to somebody via phone. So it can get easier for you to lie. So there again, you need to be able to understand the tone of the person, because what is it that can give you a cue, C-U-E, cue or hint when you talk to somebody via phone? Just the tone. That is all that will be the deciding factor in terms of you being honest or not. That too, a person may not be able to gauge you through your tone. So that is something that needs to be looked into. Now we talk of media used for communication. Many organizations use notice and bulletin boards to disseminate information that affects all employees working together in a group. Now, the purpose of notice and bulletin board is that it is placed at a specific location. Wherever it is placed, it is easy for all to read the information. information on that notice or bulletin board that is put up will be very specific. It has to be well drafted, written appropriately, and in a concise manner. What is the medium of communication right now? Online. What does media mean? Media is a plural word for medium. So what is traditional media? Radio, television, newspaper. Right? So medium is singular. Media is a plural word for the word medium. So when we talk of notice and bulletin board, these need to be placed at easily visible and approachable location so that each employee has access to them. The way it is placed, everybody can ideally have access to it. That is what is most important. That means easy to read. You don't have to struggle to get in there to read it. It means the space is there. All those aspects are looked into. It is not uncommon to come across notices that are poorly drafted and run into many pages. Words selected are also complex. In such situations, the readers fail to read the documents fully and the purpose behind the bulletins is lost. See, when you have to give specific information and you realize that you want to give that specific information but you word it in a complex manner, then the purpose is lost. My communication should be as simple as possible. Then it will serve the purpose.